You turn, please, in the Word of God to the book of Genesis, the first book of Scripture, the book of Genesis, and we're going to turn to the chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse number 8, and we're going to read down then into chapter 7 and the verse number 1. Genesis chapter 6 and the verse number 8. God's word says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it off. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, too, of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind. Of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Amen. And we'll end our reading at the end of verse 1. And we trust that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. Amen. With the word of God open again in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. And let us bow in a word of prayer. Let us still our hearts before the Lord as we come to this very special part in the meeting where we meet around the precious word of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a special book. It is a book like no other, and as such we need that special help. And a child of God, you pray now that the Lord would speak and that he would move in this place even as his word goes forth. Let us pray. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank thee for all that has taken place in thy name already thus far. We thank you, Father, even for the words of the last hymn that we've sung. We thank thee, O God, that as thy children, we have that great assurance. We have that great hope that our soul is in thy keeping, and we praise thee that it will be kept for all eternity. We thank thee, Father, for the precious shed blood, that a blood that will never lose its power. And God, we thank thee that we've been able to sing these hymns from the depth of our heart, grateful and thankful for what thou hast been pleased to do for us. And O God, now as we meet around thy precious word, we need that special help. O God, we pray that you would shut us in with thyself for these remaining moments of this meeting. O God, we ask that you would remove the distractions of the week that has gone into thy eternity. Remove the distractions of the week that is yet to come. O God, we pray that you would shut us in with thee. O God, that we would have that sweet communion with the Father in heaven. God, we pray for our eyes to be open to the things that are contained within thy word. Oh God, we need thy help this morning. We pray for every child of God that is gathered here, that you would have that word in season. Oh God, that you would build them up in their most holy faith. We pray for the backslider that might be in our presence. Oh God, we praise thee that we have that promise that you're married to the backslider. Oh God, we pray that you would draw them back to thee. We think of maybe the unsaved one that would be sitting in the pew even now. And oh God, we ask for that word for their heart and their soul. Oh God, we acknowledge that man cannot create an anxious thought. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come and do that work which only He can do. Oh God, we pray that you would draw souls irresistibly to Thee. Lord, I pray for Thy help now, O God. Thou knowest the weakness of the human vessel, and O God, we pray that you would empty me of self and of sin and fill me full of the Holy Spirit. O God, I pray for a sense of Thy presence and Thy help like I've never felt before. I pray, O God, you'll help me to preach Thy word with great boldness and authority. God, we pray that the words of man would fall by the wayside. God, I pray this morning that I would be God's messenger with God's message. God, we want the Lord to speak. So grant it, we pray. Bless us around Thy precious word. For us in Christ's name and for His glory we ask. Amen. Amen. The account of Noah and the flood is probably one of the most well-known accounts and narratives in all of Scripture. From a young age, children are taught the account of Noah in Sunday school, in the children's meetings, in the Bible class. In fact, the account of Noah is perhaps one of my favorite accounts and narratives within all of the Word of God. Every time I turn to this account, I am met with something new, with something that I have not seen or considered before, something that has not struck me, or something I have not contemplated in the previous times that I've read it. It is an account that is filled with so much detail, an account that has so much information and so much application for the reader, especially in this day and in this generation in which we live. Of course, we do not limit the account of Noah to children this morning. You see, there is plenty that is told in this account that is so relevant for this age in which we find ourselves living. In fact, if we study this great account of Noah in any detail at all, we will soon realize how relevant it is. You see, this man, Noah, that we have read a bit about this morning, he lived in a generation, he lived in a time that has a lot in common with the one in which we live. Noah, we are told, he lived amongst a perverse and a wicked people. This man, he lived in a godless and an evil society. Genesis chapter 6, in the verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Then in verses 11 and 12 of the same chapter, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." You know, friends, as I read through this account, and particularly those verses that I've just quoted, it struck me how these words could be said of this day. It could be said of the people in which we live amongst in our generation. Isn't the wickedness of man great in the earth? Isn't every imagination of the thought of the heart of man evil continually? Isn't this very earth corrupt before the Almighty God? Isn't it filled with violence? I attended the Free Presbyterian Witness against that sodomite parade in Belfast just a few weeks ago. Friends, if ever there was a situation that I was in that made me see the wickedness and the evil and the corruptness of this present generation, it was there in Belfast. Friends, it would break your heart. It ought to break our heart. Thousands of souls living in open rebellion to God, lost and on that road to eternal destruction. And child of God, this morning we must be aware that we live in a day and a generation that has no time for God. There's no time for the things of God. We live in a perverse and an evil day. It is a godless society. Just recently I read of a club in San Diego in America. And they put up an advertising sign and it said, "We didn't create sin, we just perfected it." I read of another, a TV channel, and they boasted that their programs were, and I quote here, guaranteed to break more commandments than any other lineup. Friends, that is the reverse. That is the evil day and generation in which we find ourselves. As we consider the state of our nation, as we consider this evil generation, we can become downcast. Or we can be greatly discouraged. We can become weak and faltering in our faith. How the things we see going on around us when we switch on the television and the news, we are greatly discouraged. How it grieves our heart. Friends, we read this morning in God's infallible word about this man called Noah. He lived in a wicked and a perverse generation, as do we, but in spite of that evil generation, we're taught here that Noah was a man of God. Here was a man who walked with God, a man who prayed to God, a man who obeyed God. He preached for God. And amongst the darkness of that people and that generation, I believe we have here a shining light in this life of Noah. I believe that we have a great example of how we ought to live for God in this wicked and this perverse generation in which we find ourselves this morning. And during those times of discouragement, during the times of being downcast, we can turn to this account of Noah and we find great encouragement. And I believe by looking at several aspects of Noah's life that the children of God will be encouraged. Not only encouraged, but I trust and I pray that we would be challenged this morning. Challenged to live that life for Christ in this wicked and in this evil day. And so this morning, for the remaining moments, I want you to consider with me Noah, a man of God in a day of wickedness. A man of God in a day of wickedness. And I draw your attention this morning specifically to chapter 7 and the verse number 1. It is that verse that I want to take as my text. It says there, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." There are three aspects of this account of Noah that I want to leave with you this morning. Firstly, we see Noah's call from the Almighty. Noah's call from the Almighty. We read in our text there, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Here we have a tremendous call upon the life of this man, Noah. Here is a man, as we've said already, he is in the midst of a wicked and an evil generation. All manner of evil and wicked are taking place around him. He is in a world that has no time for God. A world that has no time for his precepts or his commandments. No time for his word. And yet we read here of God calling out to this man, Noah. Here, despite how the Lord was grieved at this nation, and friends, the Lord was grieved at that nation. And in spite of that, the Lord reaches down in mercy and grace. And he calls on to this man, Noah. We see firstly that this call of God, it was a call to separation. A call to separation. God, he said unto Noah, "Come thou." As we've said already, Noah, he was in that wicked generation. He would have lived amongst the people. He lived in the same land, the same community. And so Noah, by telling Noah to come, he was in fact calling him out to be separate. The Hebrew word for the word "come" in our text, it can be translated as "depart." To depart. Noah, you see, he was to depart. God was telling him to be separate from the wickedness of the world. So he was calling him to be separate from that wicked and that evil generation. And child of God, we must acknowledge that when the Lord reached down to us, when he saved us in his mercy, when he washed us in his blood, he was calling us out to be that separate people. He was setting us apart. As the scripture tells us, he was putting us aside to be that peculiar people. And believer, this morning we ought to be a separated people. I'm reminded of the words found in 2 Corinthians 6, in the verses 16 to 18. It says, "And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And friends, in this day of wickedness, in this evil generation, we ought to be careful not to get caught up with the things of this evil generation. There are temptations that abound now that are greater than they've ever been before. Oh, with the advancements in the internet and social media and television, oh, it is so easy for the child of God to get carried along with the things of the world. The devil indeed is out as that roaring lion seeking to devour the child of God. And that's a strong word. The devil is seeking to devour the child of God. And friends, it's vitally important this morning that we guard ourselves. We be that separate people, that we depart from the wickedness of this world. Don't get me wrong this morning. Yes, we are to be a separated people, but we're not to be an isolated people. Oh, we still engage with the ungodly. We speak to them. We can still live amongst them. But friends, we ought to be separated from their lifestyle. We ought to be separated from the things they partake in, from the places they go, from the things they speak of. And how important this truth is as we seek to live our life for Christ in this evil generation. How we ought to live that life that is pure, that life that is holy, that life which is consecrated unto our Father in heaven. We ought to have a good testimony. We ought not to be associated with the things of this present and this wicked world. We need to remember this morning that we are a separated people. Just as Noah here in our text, in chapter 7 in the verse 1, he was told to come thou. God has spoken to every child of God this morning. He's told us to come, to be a separated people, that people wholly consecrated unto Him. And child of God, this morning there's a challenge here. And I ask you this morning, are you that separated Christian? Have you broken all ties with this evil in this present world this morning? Or is there some sin that maybe you're holding on to? Or some sin that you can't let go of, that place you still visit, that thing you still watch, those words that you still say? Oh friend, you need to come to Christ. You need to repent of your sin. You need to seek His help. You need to be separated from the wickedness of this evil and wicked generation. Not only was it a call to separation, but we also see that it was a call to safety. God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Not only was this man Noah told to depart, told to come, but he was told to come into the very safety of the ark which God provided. The ark, of course, in this great account of Noah, it is such a clear and a plain picture of the salvation of Christ. See, Noah was not only called by God to be separated, but he was called by God into safety and security. This very vessel that was to be the salvation of Noah and his family, the salvation from the great and the terrible judgment that was to come upon the people of the earth. Genesis 6 and the verse 17 and the verse 18, they tell us, and behold, I, even I, to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Here we have God telling Noah of that great judgment that would be passed upon mankind. You see, man's sin, the sin of that generation, it had so grieved the heart of the Lord that that punishment had to be given. Well, that justice, that punishment from a righteous God, it had to be passed. All that remained on the earth, they were to be destroyed. Those outside the ark of God's safety were to experience the full and the terrible wrath and the judgment of the Almighty God. And friends, rightly so. And let's be clear this morning, Noah and his family, they deserve that righteous judgment as well. Maybe you haven't thought about that before. But Noah and his family, they deserve to be under the wrath and the judgment of God just like everyone else. See, the scriptures tells us that there's none righteous. No, not one. And no matter what good, no matter what merit in and of himself Noah had, he could never gain salvation. But friends, look at the verse 18. Says there, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. I believe never up until this point had there been a greater and a clearer picture of the mercy and the grace of God toward His chosen people. You see, God, He had chosen Noah, He had chosen his family to be His people. Oh, He had predestinated them unto His salvation that was to be found and provided by the ark. On that day of great and that terrible judgment, Noah And his family were granted the safety and the security in the ark. Believer, this morning, that should greatly encourage our hearts. Yes, we can be discouraged, we can be downcast, we can be grieved at the evil in this wicked generation. But friends, how it should thrill our souls, how it should thrill our hearts this morning that God has chosen us. He has chosen us from before the foundation of this world. He has predestinated us unto the salvation that is provided through our ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter how wicked these times are, no matter how perverse the generation is yet to come, we can take great hope and great comfort in the fact that we've been called into Christ. Yes, the sin that abounds today, it ought to grieve our hearts. Yes, we should be brought to tears in prayer, praying for the salvation of the lost souls that are reveling in their sin. But friends, we're not to be downcast. We're not to be depressed. We're not to lose faith or hope, but rather we should be rejoicing. Rejoicing that our God has called us into the safety of our ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you, unsaved one, this morning? You see, this time in which we live, it has a lot in common with the time in which Noah lived. Not only do we live in a perverse and an evil day, not only is all manner of evil taking place around us, but you see, there is also that warning that goes forth today of a great and a terrible judgment that is to come. No matter who you are this morning, no matter your upbringing, no matter what you know of Scripture, God's Word tells us that there is none righteous. We're all born in sin. We're all shapen in iniquity. Friends, if you're here this morning and if you've not asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, if you've not taken Him as your own and personal Savior, if you haven't repented of your sin and turned and trusted Christ, then you're heading for that great and that terrible judgment. One day you'll stand before God on that great judgment day. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible makes it clear that you'll hear those words, you'll be told to depart. You'll be cast from the very presence of the Almighty God. You'll be cast into that lake of fire for all eternity. Friend, what a terrible punishment. There's no respite, there's no hope, no reprieve. But it is a just, it is a right punishment for those who go out into God's eternity in their sin. Friends, I praise God this morning, just as there was that call that went forth to Noah, there is that call that goes forth today. And there is that call that God is crying out in mercy and in grace to the unsaved. And He's telling you to come thou into the ark. Come thou this morning into Christ. You see, we're in a perverse age, but praise God, it's still an age of grace and mercy. We know that God's salvation is still being offered. He is still saving precious souls. And friend, if you come to Him this morning, if you repent of your sin, if you accept Him as your Savior, praise God, that we have that assurance He'll hear you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, would you come to Him this morning? Would you repent of your sin? Would you stop seeking for righteousness and salvation in the things of the world? And would you come to Christ? Would you have your sins covered in the precious blood of the Lamb of God? No matter how great and no matter how terrible a judgment of God to come will be, we can depend on the security and the safety that is found through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we see Noah's call from the Almighty, but notice secondly, Noah's confidence in the ark. His confidence in the ark, we have alluded to it already. The ark is a great picture of Christ and His salvation. And there are many specifications, many characteristics of the ark that we could speak upon this morning. And it's a great study, and I urge you, if you are looking for a study to do at home, that looking into the specification and the characteristics of the ark, it is such a great study to partake in. There is much that we can learn from and apply to our own lives from this great structure, that great vessel of the ark. But for the sake of time this morning, there are just two things that I want to leave with you regarding the ark. And the first is that the ark was covered. The ark was covered. Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 14. It says there, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. See, in order to make this great vessel watertight, in order to make sure that the ark did not sink when those great waters prevailed upon it, it was to be covered in a material called pitch. And that pitch, it is a tar-like substance. And that substance was to be applied there, as we read, to the inside and to the outside of the ark. And that pitch, it provided that waterproof layer, it provided that seal. And the interesting thing to note about this word pitch is that the original word can be translated as to make atonement, or to cleanse, or to pardon, or reconcile. I think that's a tremendous thought this morning. You see, just as this pitch made the ark leak-proof, just as it made it safe and secure against the storm, that pitch was to keep the judgment waters of God out of the ark. Friends, so too the atonement of Christ keeps the judgment out of the soul of every child of God. Just as Noah's safety in the ark was depending on this pitch, so too our safety, our security, it's depending on the precious shed blood. That blood that we've received as a covering for our sin. Just as those waters in the day of Noah, they would pass by that pitch. They couldn't penetrate through it, but rather the occupants of the ark, they were safe and secure. So too the judgment waters will pass over the children of God when that precious blood has been applied. Are we not drawn to consider the great words regarding the Passover in Exodus 12 and the verse 13? It says there, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." A child of God, in this wicked and this evil generation, we must ever remember the blood of Christ. What a joy, what a privilege it is this morning to have our sins forgiven, to have them covered under the precious blood. What a privilege to be found safe and secure in our ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it ought to thrill our hearts this morning. Tell me, child of God, is your heart thrilled? Are you stirred? Are you rejoicing? The fact that your sins are covered in the blood of Christ. Do you rejoice in the fact? Are you grateful? Are you thankful for the place in which you're found? You're found safe this morning in the very arms of Christ. Oh, we ought to rejoice in our safety and security in Christ. And just before I leave this point this morning, I want to leave one more thought with you. There is a lake in Trinidad, and it's called Pitch Lake. It's one of the many marvels that exists of God's creation, and for many centuries they've used the pitch that comes out of that lake for use in shipbuilding. They've used it for centuries, and I believe most of the lake is actually solid. You can walk across it. Over the years, there's been millions of cubic tons of pitch removed from that lake, but yet that lake, it never seems to go down. The pitch, they take it out and it just fills back up. Well, they don't know how it's created. They don't know where it comes from. They don't know how it's filled again, but there seems to be that endless supply of pitch. You know, it's a simple thought, but it drew me to consider the eternal nature of the blood of Christ. See, friends, this morning that blood will never lose its power. That blood will never lose its atoning qualities. No, we will be kept in Christ for all eternity. It will prevail as a covering for our sins for all eternity. It will never pass away. Not only is the ark covered, but we see that the ark is closed. The ark is closed. I clarify at the outset, of course, we do not mean that it's closed to the unsaved. We know that we're still in the day of salvation, and praise God that God is still saving souls. Well, that day of judgment has not yet come, and we're still found in the day of grace and mercy. But what I mean is this: the ark, it is closed to the child of God this morning. You see, when we enter into Christ, we're shut in. Friends, there's no way out. Nobody can pluck us from the arms and the safety we have in Christ. Genesis 7 and the verse 16 says there, "And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." I think they're tremendous words. The Lord shut him in. See, when Noah and his family were brought into the ark, the Lord shut them in. No matter who on the outside would have tried to remove Noah and his family, they could never find success. No matter how fierce that storm came down, no matter how high the waves soared, no matter how hard the rain came, Noah and his family, they could never fall out. They could never be pushed out. They could never be pulled out. They could never be forced out. Friends, they were shut in. They could never be removed from that safety that they had in the ark. So too it is with our position in Christ. When as sinners God cleansed us in the blood of Christ, when He brought us into the safety and the security of Christ, He promised we would never leave that safety. No man would ever pluck us from His arms. John 6 and the verse 37, it tells us there, "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Those words in the original language, they are put quite strongly. It says there, "I will not, or never, never cast out without, or cast out of doors." What a tremendous truth this morning for the child of God. One commentator writing on that verse, he said that Christ will never cast them out of His affections, nor out of His arms, nor out of that family that is named of Him, nor out of and from His church, which is His body, and of which they are members, nor out of a state of justification and salvation. Therefore they shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Child of God, let's take great encouragement this morning. The safety we have in Christ. Once saved, we're always saved. God's children can never be lost. They will never perish. Not only have we seen Noah's call from the Almighty, Noah's confidence in the ark, but notice finally and very quickly with me this morning, Noah's condition in adversity. His condition in adversity. Our text in Genesis 7 in the verse 1, it says, "For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." There are just two aspects of this portion of the verse I want to leave quickly with you. Firstly, we see that Noah was righteous before God in the legal sense. In the legal sense. You see, that's the only way that a man can be truly righteous in this scene of time. Man cannot depend on self-righteous. He cannot please God or gain some merit with Him through his own works. God's Word tells us that our righteousness is, they're as filthy rags. How can then an unclean thing be cleansed and purified with a filthy rag? There's no doubt here that Noah, he was a righteous man. Not righteous in himself, but righteous through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's two things that we can take from this point this morning. Firstly, we must be mindful as believers that we do not stand on our own merit. How easy it is for us, especially in this wicked day, to look around us and we see the evil and we can think, well, they're so displeasing to God and I must be doing so much better. I'm not involved in the things that they're in. I'm not doing what they're doing and how much greater I am. Friends, we must guard ourselves against such pride and against such thinking. We must humble ourselves this morning. We must realize, and as we stand before a righteous and almighty God, in and of ourselves, we are nothing. In and of ourselves, we can offer nothing to God. We cannot gain any merit with Him. We cannot gain acceptance with Him because we are a wicked creature. Friend, this morning we stand before God righteous in the merit of Christ. We are justified through Christ and through Him alone. And that ought to humble every believer here this morning. Not only is there that encouragement for the child of God, but there's that encouragement for those that are out of Christ. See, if you're here this morning, it doesn't matter how many sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how serious the sin, how far into that sin you've gone. Praise God, you can be saved this morning. See, it is not through your own merit that you have to gain acceptance with God. Our merit can never gain us acceptance with the Almighty God. Friends, it is because of the righteousness, it's because of the goodness and the mercy of Christ that you can be saved this morning. It's because of who He is, it is because of what He has done. And friend, if you repent of your sin, if you leave that sin behind, if you turn to Christ, or if you fully trust and depend on Him this morning, praise God, you will be saved. But not only is Noah righteous in a legal sense, but we also see here in closing the good testimony that Noah had. As we said, Noah, he lives in that wicked, that evil generation. Oh, Satan, he was clearly at work. It was a godless and a wicked people. And yet I believe all the while that Noah, he was a light in a dark place. This man, he upheld a good testimony. He lived righteous in the sight of God. Verse 5 of chapter 7 says there, and Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. That same phrase could be said of us. We finish our course here in this scene of time. It could truly be said that we fought a good fight. We've kept the faith. Oh yes, there's those times we know that Noah, he let the Lord down, he grieved him. And all the while, I believe this man of God, he stood out from the crowd in that wicked generation. We're told that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What a testimony he had. Child of God, it is so important for us in this day and age we live to have that good testimony. We're to be those vessels that are fit for the Master's use. Our conversation, all manner of our life is to bring honor and glory to our Savior. I ask you this morning as I close, how is your testimony to this wicked generation? Do you live righteous in the sight of God? Do you stand out as this man Noah did, a man of God in an evil and a wicked generation? Can it be said of you that you've done according unto all that the Lord commanded you? Friend, let's take great encouragement here from this account of Noah. Let us not be downcast in this wicked age. Let us not be depressed in this generation in which we live, but let's be encouraged at what we have through Christ. May our hearts and our souls be stirred up to live that life which is pleasing unto Him. What about you, unsaved one, this morning in our meeting? What will your response be to that great invitation to come into the ark? Friends, we're still found in the day of grace. God is still outstretching that hand of mercy and of grace. One day that door will be shut. Just as that door in the ark was shut. And after that, the judgment. Friend, it'll be too late then. No more opportunity, no more hope. Oh, friends, would you come to Him now? Would you repent of your sin just as you're sitting here now in your pew? And praise God, as we've said already, we have that great hope and that great assurance that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us bow in a word of prayer as we bring our meeting to a close, please. Eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the time that we spent around Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Father, for this great account and narrative of Noah. We thank Thee, Father, that it is a portion of Scripture that is so rich in application and teaching for the child of God. We thank Thee, Father, for the things that we have in and through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Thee, Father, that we stand before Thee righteous because of what Christ has done. We thank Thee, Father, that we have that great hope and that great assurance that You will keep us for all eternity. And once we're saved, we can never be lost. We never be plucked from the arms of Christ. Father, we do think of the unsaved this morning. Lord, we thank Thee that we are still in the day of grace. Thank Thee that that call is still going forth, that gospel invitation. Thank Thee, O God, that the blood of Christ is still saving souls. Father, we pray that if there be any gathered in our meeting this morning that are out of Christ, O God, that You would draw them irresistibly to Thee. Father, we pray now that You would be with us as we meet around Thy table. Prepare the hearts of Thy people, we pray. Lord, we pray that You would draw us close to Thee. Sanctify us, we pray. Impart us then with Thy presence. Take us to our homes in safety. Be with us until we would meet again. For it's in Christ's name and for His glory we pray. Amen.